Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Lauren Bain, a personal brand creative director. I'm excited for our conversation today. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Excellent. So you've probably listened to a few episodes and know that I love to let our listeners learn a little bit about your leadership history. So why don't you give us a little bit of taste of that?
Okay, awesome. I'm going to start from the beginning.
Go for it. I've had many people start in childhood.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's funny we're talking about that because I just put my about page together as this new iteration of my career. And so it's been really fun to kind of walk through the timeline of where I started. And it's interesting when you do reflection. I've been working for 25 years in the advertising industry. And when you start reflecting back on your childhood, especially, you can see these little times and even all the way back when I was a little girl, that it just kind of cemented the fact that creativity and using my unique set of skills to sell something uniquely and distinctively was there all the way from when I was a little girl. I wanted to get babysitting gigs in the neighborhood. And so I wanted to hang a sign on the street lamp post and make sure people knew that I was available, but I wanted to do it a little bit more creatively. So I remember that I wrote a little headline that said, "Save your marriage, go on a date." And then at the bottom it said, "Call me to babysit your kids."
Oh, I love that. That's hilarious.
So all the way back to just even when I was in ice skating, when I wouldn't necessarily win awards for my skills, but I would win it for creativity, doing like the Pee Wee Herman dance for one of the competitions. So when I ended up figuring out in college that those skills and the way I looked at life and the way I looked at even how people sell themselves came to fruition at the University of Texas in Austin, and I majored in advertising. And so that's kind of where it all began when I found that course, and it was just an intro class. I wasn't even really going into it. I was actually studying journalism, and I was so glad that at Texas, they make you take a course in your college, but outside of your major, because when I got in there, I hadn't even thought about advertising. It never really connected with me who makes commercials, who makes billboards, who's behind the creativity of that. So it came very naturally to me. It was really fun. It was really exciting. And so that kind of kicked off my career. And I got started at one of the leading advertising agencies in the country, actually. And at the time, it was the biggest one in Texas, in Austin, called GSD&M. And they're known for Don't Mess with Texas, the anti-litter campaign, Southwest Airlines. They've had from the day Herb Kelleher started the airline. And so I really started being able to work on Fortune 500 brands right after college.
Nice. Yeah.
So from there, it was just another just like 25 years of working for agencies. And then I really fell in love with entrepreneurialism. The Entrepreneur Magazine had just come out. This was like the early 2000s. And I was really fascinated with the leaders I was meeting with behind Pennzoil and Macaroni Grill. And they were either CMOs, or some of them could be all the way at the very top. And I wanted to help them. I noticed that the entrepreneurialism plus advertising was really starting to seed. And I was starting to grow in that space. And I really wanted to own my own business. And so I took that and saw this need after school for kids that didn't have anything going on from 3 to 6. And I loved kids and I didn't know what they were doing after school. And it's before I was a mom. And so I created a program called Austin Outdoor Kids. I bought a van. It was a beautiful brand. And so that was just a little quick peek to that story to say I left this world of selling huge big brands and took it to selling my own brands. And then from there, would meet founders and work for the local running store company or the biggest hair salon or the just anybody in town that had a business that they wanted to share with people. Mm-hmm. I love helping them get that message out there. And so that's been kind of the ingredients moving forward. And then I became a mom. Mm-hmm. And that all, do you have kids?
I do. I have a daughter. Yes.
Okay. So you might know, and your listeners might know, that sometimes motherhood can either just complement the path you're on, or it can be a big, another
up and down.
Yes. Another fork in the road. And so I became a mom and was now trying to figure out my career path with being a mom. And it was kind of soon after I got married. And so I was trying to figure out, is this where I want to be? How do I merge the worlds? And I think because of where I was at the time in my career, had I been more grounded, I guess at the time I was experimenting with different kinds of jobs, then I wasn't able to really see how that would work together. So at the same time, my husband got a job offer in Santa Monica, California. So we moved mm-hmm. from Austin to Santa Monica, and it was great. It was a really, really fun time. I got to meet a bunch of new people, but again, I was working with founders and I was working with brands, and I would do freelance. I even did creative recruiting for a little while, which was interesting. Ooh, yeah. So I placed art directors and writers at ad agencies all over the country. And then an interesting thing happened. Walmart actually went to an ad agency I was working for as a recruiter, and they asked us to hire two female creative director teams. And they not only had to be women, but they also had to be moms. Oh, and that was the first time we had ever had to be recruiting for a psychographic. Mm-hmm. So I was in what I was saying earlier, I was at that crossroads between motherhood and professionalism, and I was trying to like blend the world, and I loved being a mom so much, but I also liked being career lady. And mm-hmm. so placing those creative directors was hard. It was really hard to find females at that level at this time. It was like 2008, 2009, who were able to be creative directors and lead accounts and also have kids, because it's hard. It's hard in the business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it spawned an idea with me that what if there was an ad agency for these brands, because Walmart was going a real targeted direction with going after moms. And we moved back to Austin and I started an agency called Offspring. And so
I love the name.
Thank you. I do too. I thought it was so sweet. And so it ended up being like family friendly or family focused advertising for brands that target families. We weren't all in just on moms. I think just the role of motherhood, which is basically taking care of kids, mm-hmm. was the main focus. And so I got to work on amazing brands like Smarty Pants Vitamins, this beautiful clothing line called New Organics. And so again, creating work for brands selling themselves. I did a lot of reflection. I was like, where am I going next? So that's when I sunk into doing a lot of professional development and masterminds and coaching and things that I hadn't really done previously to this capacity, to really kind of figure out who I am now and where I want to go and how I want to use my skills the best I can. And I ended up working with some amazing mentors, one of which quotes a man named Larry Winget, and he uses the quote a lot in our meetings and workshops that I absolutely loved. And he said, I don't know if it's like the point of life, but it was more of a directive that we should be all finding our unique gifts and exploiting mm-hmm. them in service of others.
Oh, I love that.
I love it too, so much. Yeah. And Roy uses that a lot when he speaks. And it just, when I first heard it, I was like, that it helped me kind of frame it differently mm-hmm. than how I think we're taught it in school. Like we're supposed to like go off to college and like get a skill set for a job, but it's never to like uncover like what makes you uniquely you. I mean, you've clearly figured that out. You're so good at giving a platform to these leaders and really pouring into people and really shining a light on them. And so that's an amazing gift that you've been able to figure out how to serve with. And so when I was reforming or reframing where I was headed, I was starting to see I was around a lot of personal brands. And I'd heard about the word personal branding. I'd been around it a little bit. It's just kind of a different way of basically saying, let's market the founder or market the messenger. And so all of a sudden, this just light bulb went off early this year, actually, that I could be taking these 25 years of marketing products and services and branding them and take that and now help use that to uniquely sell personal brands. It made so much sense to me. And so I've just recently kicked this off. It's been really exciting. And so it's been really fun to see like, how can we go to market? You know, how can Tara go to market? How can we go to market in a way that distinctively sells them to set you apart beyond just what you're doing. What you're doing is also very, but so that's what I do now. And I'm really, really excited. Yeah. So I just help entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, authors, consultants, professionals of any type, really creatively express their personal brand through distinctive, I call them brag-worthy marketing assets.
I love that. And certainly your creative background has really helped you come to where you are today and have your own unique brand yourself. Before we talk a little bit more about branding, I have to say, I'm glad that you brought up life transitions and having to make those choices, because even as leaders, we have life. Life doesn't stop just because we're leading somewhere, whether that be the CEO or a manager, right? Life doesn't stop around us. And we have to make those choices that work for us. And I think it's really important that our listeners really hear that message today, because it's okay, you know, even to be emotional. It's okay as a leader to have to make a decision for your family first. You know, sometimes that work-life balance isn't there when things change. Maybe we have illnesses such as with your parents. So there's major transitions going on. My daughter is going to university for the first year, you know, in September, and that's a major life transition for us. Very grateful I have the ability to create my own schedule with my own business. So I did want to touch on that before we talk about branding, because I think it's really important message that you were sharing. So let's get into the branding side of things. I know a lot of people are excited to talk about this today, especially as leaders and even business owners. We want to really get our message across. So I think about my first business name, which is still the umbrella business, Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. And a lot of people ask me, like, where does that come from? If you go to our website, you will see I am an identical twin, and my sister and I are partners in the business. And that is our brand. That is who we are. That is what makes us unique. So I love that you touched on uniqueness as well. The Amplifying Leadership brand I started early last year in order to really hone in on that market and those people that I want to help, which is the leadership division. So let's talk about branding for leaders. We know it's extremely important for the businesses or for ourselves as leaders. So how can we stand out as leaders with our own unique brand? I know everybody's different. So maybe you can talk in a generalized sense. How can we stand out with our brand?
I love this question. It's great. And it's nuanced. There's so many different ways and different avenues we can be creative and stand out. I think if you already are in a position, and there's a lot of personal branding also starting to trend towards people that are in corporate jobs. So it doesn't just have to be somebody that's independent and entrepreneur or on their own. But a lot of times, like Simon Sinek says, to start with why. Like,
what is your... I love that.
Yes, I think that's great. And I think that that definitely serves a population of people that are trying to figure out, like even for me, I was trying to figure out my why. But then I was pushed to actually figure out your who. And who are you wanting to serve? And sometimes that helps you figure out more, like, who am I going after? And then what do they need to hear? And what do I want to communicate? And sometimes that helps also figure out how to be a little bit more distinctive. But when it comes to being a creative, and the way I was taught in Texas, at the University of Texas, and also how I was trained through advertising agencies, it's the mechanism and device to feel like an invited guest into someone's home, not like you're interrupting them. And that's something I'm trying to explain to personal brands right now. It's like my whole, like being a creative director, like you're trained to attract, not to interrupt. You know, it's why I have a hardcore no pop-ups rule for any of the websites I would create. And if you want to send somebody to do an email capture, that might not be supported by anything else except for my personal preference. I'm sure there's a lot of data that shows you need to pop up and get this information. But just that's just one of my philosophies. You know, it feels kind of like the perfume person at a mall that just walks up and wants to start spraying perfume on you. Anyway. So for me, just simply doing things differently than everybody else, trying to figure out, like, you probably are not going to come up with an idea that's never been done. Pretty much every idea has been done, but how would you do it in your way? What is your unique spin on it? And it's why I'm also kind of on this platform of, you are not a template. You know, when you go to try to Yeah, when you go to market and you go buy a template for yourself, just not, I'm speaking through marketing asset terms. And yes, you can change the colors and you could change a font to it, but what makes it more, what makes it you, what makes it distinctive? So what you just said about Twin Life makes so much sense. Like that's so great. You already set yourself apart from everybody else by having just the unique business model right there and then capitalizing on it. Cause y'all could have gone a different route with it. You still could have worked.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you figured out a way to carve out a little name for yourself that's recognizable. So thinking of recognizable words, other ways of saying, I don't want to say amplifying, like pretend you didn't want to use that word, amplifying.
Yeah.
And to like figure out a different way of using that word or just different visual techniques, the messaging techniques, starting at the baseline, like what is it I'm trying to sell and who am I trying to sell it to? You start there. And then it's like, how can I do this so that they want to actually consume this and it's entertaining for them and or it's emotional for them. It creates an emotional connection is another way that you have to look at standing apart. Then there's color theories. There's, you know, design theories. There's, and I actually, when I work my personal brands, we kind of go through one layer and then we go back through and we look through a different layer. And so it's like, let's go look through or filter actually the filter messaging. Let's do the filter of design. Let's do color. Now let's go back through the user experience and then what makes you unique. And so like for me, I my icon is a unicorn because there's so many different representations of what that means. But I never really was thinking the unicorn was representing me till people were giving me that feedback. I was like, no, I want to make you a unicorn. I want to make you look like the unicorn in a sea of horses. And so how do we go about doing that? So I think being distinct with how you go to market visually, verbally, and how you just make people feel is the first way you're going to kind of carve out a unique space and stand out a little bit more.
So I have a question about that, because that can all seem very overwhelming to someone who's never dealt with personal branding before, even as a leader, business owner, or individually. So what would be, you know, the first stepping stone? Like, for example, if it's career-based, perhaps that's making sure your LinkedIn profile stands out. If it's a different base, like my sister and I, making sure that our name stands out. What is like the simplest way someone can get started if they're, say, they're new, they can't hire someone to help them like yourself? What is that first baby step that you know, we're not looking at the top of the mountain yet, but we want to get started?
So you mentioned your touch points. I would probably sit down and figure out where is everybody consuming me the most, if it's just for the leader. And it could be at your weekly meetings that you have internally. You want to stand out more at your weekly meetings, and you might need to figure out a way to do that. And that could be just have nothing to do with marketing assets. It could be doing, I just need some presentation skills that help me own my voice a little bit more. If you are outwardly marketing yourself, like on LinkedIn as an entrepreneur, or as a speaker, as a consultant, starting with where are my people? You know, who, again, going back to that avatar of my who and where are they at the most? There's kind of contradictory opinions on, am I on LinkedIn because that's where my customer is the most? Or am I on LinkedIn because that's where I feel the most comfortable selling myself? You know, because if you love the LinkedIn platform, that's where all your people are, and that's where you like to share your content the most. It might be a slower build to get your customers, but if that's where you feel the most authentic, then that might be where you end up attracting your ideal customers. And then there's another school of thought that you should go, obviously, where the customers are, and that'll be a faster way to get to them. And so I would start with where they are first, and then start looking at like how you want to be seen to them. So that you can be giving the verbiage and the communication that you think they're most attracted to. I personally think, I don't know how many deals get closed because your profile picture and your LinkedIn banner, you know, are so incredibly moving. I don't know if that's really a place to be an advertising mechanism, but I do think it's a place to be a branding mechanism. So I first start with identity. I always start with some kind of identity system. That's where I like to start. I think you should have some kind of iconography. I think having a color palette for yourself, just something that is even subliminal. So when people do visit your LinkedIn, they're like, oh, that looks different. Like there you're standing out. Use a different colored background for your photography if that feels like you. But I also think a lot of this is figuring out, it's kind of a self-discovery as well.
I was going to say self-reflection. I should be added to that leader's handbook. And several people have talked about self-reflection before on the podcast, but not when it comes to branding. But I think that that links really well with branding.
Absolutely. Especially when you're selling your personal brand, selling yourself. And there is a lot of that is figuring out. And sometimes it's just easy surveys, anonymous surveys to your friends and family, asking the questions like, what is the first word you think of when you think of me? And that's what they say about, I think it was Jeff Bezos. I can never pronounce his last name. Bezos?
Not sure. No, okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Amazon founder. He's the one I believe that said this, that your personal brand or your reputation is what people say about you when you leave the room or what you want people to think about you. And hopefully not talking behind your back in a bad way, but just like, what is the mark you leave on people and what is the mark you want to leave on people? And then making sure that those kind of come together. But I've done it before and it's actually really helpful. It's the kind of therapeutic. And yes, you're asking people to say nice things about you, but you can do anonymous surveys and you can do it on Google Forms really easily just to ask a few questions of like, what are the things? And just lean into the, what are the best things about me? I mean, I don't think we needed to go down the road of like, what are the negative things and what are things I should work on necessarily, but just what are the things you think of when you think of me? And then you'll automatically get some of those gifts that maybe you weren't even looking at or observing about yourself, and then figure out a way to bring that to light a little bit so that people are like, oh, I'd want to work with a person like that. But yeah, it's a lot of self-reflection.
I love that idea of doing an anonymous survey to find out what people think that you're good at. I think if people are listening and they want to take away a little tool, I think that's a great way to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, you kind of touched on my next question, which is about development. So, you know, we have to develop. Leaders are always learning, continually developing. So are other people. I'm honing in on leaders because that's what we're about here, but everybody's always developing, continual improvement. How do we update our brand when things change? What is something that we need to look at if our brand starts to change? You talked about your story has changed on and off throughout your entire life. Mm-hmm. How do we keep up with our brand when we need to change it?
I think if one of the business operating systems that you always subscribe to is that I'm going to be in a constant state of refinement, both as a human and as a brand, I think it'll just always be there in the back that I need to check in on this. I need to be checked. A lot of people think I create my website and it's done. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's an evolution, probably, unless it depends on what business you're in. I could probably make an argument that yes, for some, it can be static for a while.
Right. Yeah.
I think you are always just open to the fact that you will be iterating and evolving and refining. Like, refinement to me is a big thing I love to talk about. And just kind of polishing and just seeing where things are going. There will be some transitions that might be really big. I'm working with a brand right now who's been doing headshot photography and basically like weddings and kids and seniors forever and ever and ever. And she really wants to move into just executive photography. And so she needs to start. And she has a history with that. And so we're renaming her studio. You know, we're making her name a little bit different. We're kind of zhuzhing up the brand, you know?
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times I say too, it's like, if you have to pivot and you're taking a refresh or you have a new identity, it's very similar to like when you're young and you go buy IKEA couches and IKEA furniture
together. Yeah. The frustration of putting it together for 4 or 5 hours. Yeah.
I know. And that was a version of life for you. That was a version of your brand at that time and who you were. And so as you get a little bit older, or a little bit more evolved, or things are like, you start realizing, wait, I spent a lot of time putting together that entertainment center. I could probably just go buy one now. And maybe it's more expensive, but I can get some of my time back. And the value of time is there as well. So we are iterating even on furniture choices and just kind of evolving through life as it just comes at us. And so I think it's the same way professionally as a leader. You're going to be constantly growing and you're going to be realizing things and some new sparks are going to ignite along the way. So your brand can reflect that as well. The amount of times I've changed my bio line on Instagram, you know, saying who I serve, what I do. I mean, I think if we just surrendering to that and not being too scared of it, obviously at some point get to what you're selling and go out there and let people know. So it's not confusing either, but I think it's just a natural, it's just part of the deal. And if you just know it's part of the deal, then I think you'll embrace it more.
So I have a question, because you mentioned Instagram, and then this thought came to my mind. How important do you feel social media is for personal brands? Or does it really depend if, depending on if that's what the leader needs to do, or if that's something that they don't? Like, just your personal opinion.
I think it's hugely important. So, and I will say I'm new-ish to this space of, as far as like going and selling yourself, because I've known all the media platforms for selling a product or a service. But because we have been given this amazing platform to go out there and free speech it up, I mean, you can go out and say almost anything you want and sell yourself. It is the number one tool, and it's free. You know, I mean, you can pay for ads, but it's the way to get your voice out there. And so, again, going back to what I was saying earlier about finding where your people are or the platform you feel most comfortable with, I think in a perfect world, if you could have a way to be on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Reddit's huge. Like, no one's even on Reddit or knows how to, and do all of them, great. But that requires a team of people. And so, so many people to help you get out there. So I think maybe finding one or two platforms or ones that can kind of cross promote with each other is hugely important, because how else are people going to really get to experience you and know you? I think doing podcasts is great too. I think podcasts is another great, either guesting or doing it yourself. There's going out and speaking for free. Even it's amazing. If you're speaking to a large audience of people and you have a little keynote speech, how you can talk to people later, and you don't even have to really do it to get paid. You do it to just practice your presentation skills. So yeah, I think it's hugely important to be on there, because I don't really know any other better way. In fact, YouTube's great. YouTube, I guess, isn't considered social media, but it's kind of trending that way.
It's in there anyway.
They've started a community application now. So, but yes, for people to just get to know you, hear your voice, and then a lot of people can sell themselves just verbally and through graphics. If you aren't somebody that really wants to be the face and talk, there's a lot of ways you can go about being on social media or on other platforms. If you don't feel like you're there yet or want to be the face of your brand as much. So yeah, it's hugely important, social media.
Okay, great. So I learned a lot today, and I think our audience has too, but I would love for you to give us that key takeaway, that thing you want us to remember if we forget everything else you said. What would that be?
That you are not a template.
I love that quote. Yeah. I'm totally stealing that. Is that from you, or is that somebody else who came up with that?
I just wrote it last week. It's my last Instagram post, actually. You should go to my Instagram and check it out. It's Hey Lauren Bain. That's my Instagram handle.
All right.
Yeah, but it's up there. Just push the bar, think about how can I be different. And then something else, and one last takeaway, is that I would tell clients a lot of the times when we would have to just like de-creative the things that felt risky, because they're spending a lot of money, and they're like, but what if we did this? What if we did that? And so not being as bold and out there as possible was always frustrating for me. And so I would say often, it's like, what is the one day a year on a Sunday that millions of people take time out of their day that aren't even sports fans and want to gather around the television just to watch advertising? And it's people want, why is that? Why do they want to watch it? It's like, oh, well, they're entertaining and they're fun. And I'm like, and why? Exactly. So why spend all this money throughout the rest of the year and not make your work as good as a Super Bowl ad every time? And yes, there's arguments that the production budgets and things like that will spend it all for this one weekend. And there are a lot of eyeballs watching. So that's another reason why they would be more risky. But I still think the creative, the idea doesn't cost anymore. You know, so the idea can always be the level of a Super Bowl spot, and then just figure out a way to stay within budget. But the idea to me is always the most important, and just standing out and de-templatizing yourself and trying to figure out how to leave your unique stamp on the world. Cause I believe we're all works of art.
I love that. I love it. I believe everybody is 100% unique as well. Even as an identical twin. And so I love that message. I love it. So if anybody in our audience wants to learn more about what you do or find you online, you said Instagram is @HeyHeyLaurenBain. Is there anywhere else that they can find you?
Yes, my website, which is also my name, Lauren Bain, B as in boy, A-Y-N-E. And on there, you can read all about me. And then I have buttons to book a what I call a dream catcher call. You know what a dream catcher is?
Yes, I do. We have them up here too. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And all so right. That's how I feel like I am. I'm catching their dreams on these calls and then we go from there.
Excellent. And is it laurenbain.com?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing all these awesome branding tips today. I think our audience is going to love listening to you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
A thank you to our audience as well. We do hope you're able to gain some very valuable information or tips today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your leadership journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, that's CA as in Canada, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.